anymore.
It can be also really anything at all about things that you're experiencing or questions you have about the practice, any difficulties, how to work with something. So really any level. It's just, and Sato was saying, it's your time. So it's really for your benefit. So you can just start it anywhere. Yeah, great.
So, could you talk a little bit about the differences between being mindful of the self and being self-conscious?
Self-conscious. He said that when you are being mindful of yours, inverted commas, of yourself, you're looking at it from a different view, which is you are trying to remember that this is a process of nature, a natural process that's going on, and you want to understand how this process unfolds. So that's watching mindfully, right? And you're seeing it as nature. Whereas when you're self-conscious, a lot of the attention is on concepts. We are self-conscious because we're wondering what other people are thinking of us. So there is a personal identification with, you know, with what we're feeling. Whereas in mindfulness, you're trying to see this as a process. So you can be mindful of self-consciousness and see what the process of self-consciousness is like.
Self-consciousness, awareness, direct experience of things.
Yeah, so in self-consciousness, we're also thinking about, we're actually caught in the story about ourselves. Whereas in mindfulness, you are knowing what the mind is doing.
You're
directly experiencing your six sense objects. So it's good to know the difference between what is concept and what is reality or nature.
Meditation object are direct experience, concept.
So a meditation object is something you can experience directly. Whereas a concept is something that you must think about in order to, well, you cannot know it, you can only think about it. For example, you can think about your leg, but you cannot know your leg. You can feel sensations, but when you think about a leg, it's like a form.
So that's form, shape, color, near, change.
Form, shape, color, place, time, near.
Concept.
So all these things are designated, you know. Concepts are all designations that are given by our mind, and we have to think of them to place them in our consciousness.
Meditation awareness direct experience.
Whereas meditation experience is about directly experiencing, like you experience seeing. You have your eyes open, seeing is happening. You experience hearing is happening. Experience feeling, you know, you're warm or cold, that's feeling. So. But if you think you're seeing books or you're seeing Siado, Siado is the concept. Seeing is the reality.
Nature, meditation and nature of lila.
So meditation is also the exploration of these realities. Getting in touch with them. Knowing the difference. Not that you leave out one. The other will always be there. The concept will always be there. But you need to know which part is what. That's all.
So, if it's possible to meditate like at any time, any post or any position. What do you think is the purpose of sitting meditation in the meditation hall?
On a retreat, we sit because there's really not much else to do. He doesn't say you have to. Yeah, it's just it's there if you want to use it.
Now, beginner is like that.
And for some beginners, it's just easier to have a still posture to begin. Because if they try to be mindful when moving, some people can't get it. You know, they find it more difficult to follow. So it's better to get in touch with it while not doing anything else. You sit and then you try and get in touch with what awareness is like and how to know something. And then those yogis can go on to moving.
Some people get it, yeah.
The idea is, you know, because our mind really does everything, and not just does meditation, it does everything else we do, whether it's sitting or, you know, washing the dishes or making tea. So the idea in sitting is to stop the other mental activities so that the activity of awareness becomes more clearly visible.
And when
we sit, we also notice our thinking more easily, because that's more obvious too. When we're busy, like making tea and walking around, sometimes always we are thinking, but we might not notice it because we are so busy with everything.
Right?
You spoke earlier that there is no right or wrong in experience.
Mm-hmm.
If that's
not good or bad.
Good or bad. Mm-hmm. Good or bad. So then what is the point of action in the world? Like to prevent that when horrible things, well, here I'm putting an adjective on it, are happening in the world.
Yeah.
Death, atrocity, genocide,
yeah.
The refugee crisis.
Mm.
If we don't label those things, and if you can't label those things as bad, then this is a question I have.
Yeah, he's really talking about our experience, yeah. Rather than what's out there, yeah. So again, so the thing is that meditation is about what we can directly experience,
mm-hmm.
and cultivating the good qualities of our mind. And what we can directly, so what we don't want to do is develop negative qualities of mind because of what we are experiencing directly. You know, whether we are experiencing anger or pain, frustration or love, or joy, we don't want to develop greed or aversion or delusion towards this. Right? So we're learning to watch it. But the wars that are happening, famine, fighting, injustice, all this, we have to think about it. That's not our experience. Even if you were in the middle of the war, your experience would be what you feel right then. Are you feeling pain? Is it because somebody has hurt you, stabbed you? Or is it because you're thinking about the war? You know, so your direct experience is what you feel. And that's what you can work with. So a small analogy, but he'll ask you a question first. Is it better if it's quiet or noisy?
Yes.
Quiet.
So whenever it's noisy, you're going to be frustrated and you break the steadiness of your mind. You lose samadhi.
Stability of mind.
Right. Because you have a wrong thought. The wrong thought is that quiet is preferable. So then every time it's noisy, you are hurting yourself. You have already hurt yourself. But if we understand that our experience is that it is quiet now, or our experience is that there is a lot of sound now, it, you know, we can use the word noisy, which already has a negative connotation, but you know, there's, you know, the sound is loud now, or the sound is soft now, or there is no sound now. He says, then we can be fairly neutral, if that's our thought process, if we see the reality of it that way. Because these objects, they are just sounds. Yeah? Sounds from soft to loud. None of them have any value judgment to it, except what we give to them. Sound is just sound. That's its reality. So we're learning to deal with our direct experience and learning what of our thought processes, what of our perceptions is contributing to our mental response to the experience, and learning to step away from it and see if you can, if we can be neutral and see the thing just for what it is. Because when we can, our response is neutral, can be more wise. We can see more clearly for what it is, and then, you know, decisions can be made or
meditation mind about it is a new subject. I knew that people are information, knowledge in mind.
So the ideal state for a meditative mind is neutral. Neither preferring nor resisting, because in the neutral state of mind, we can see things for what they are and where they belong. We can make decisions clearly and without bias, and
So one exercise
that he will repeat to us over and over again is our exercise with pain. That when we have pain, the important thing is our response to pain. Do we have a reaction to pain? And we are, then we pay attention to our reaction to the pain. We pay attention to it exclusively until it either doesn't take up our attention anymore or it's totally gone. And if we actually can watch the reaction to pain until it's totally gone, then we have an interesting situation where we were having pain, we now no longer have a reaction to it, and now we're going to come back to what we experienced as pain before and see what our mental perception of pain now is, that there is no longer any resistance to it.
People say
my leg is in pain. But if the pain goes away, does your leg disappear? My leg is in pain.
My leg.
Pain is pain. Pain is a sensation of a certain degree that we can experience. The leg is not something we experience. The leg is something we think of. We place pain in a certain part of our body, and we have called it a leg for such a long time. But we can't actually experience the leg. And so when pain is there or pain is not there, this thought of a leg is still there. So we must know that pain is separate from the leg. Pain is something that comes and goes, and we can know its nature. And why do we watch our reactions to pain? And then when there's no more pain, why do we go back and look at the pain? He says, because we want to understand the nature of pain and its relationship to the mind.
She put up her hand. think it's difficult to focus my eyes when sitting. I don't know whether I should look something ahead, and it makes me
confused.
Yes. There's
no need to look at anything. You can just keep your eyes like in one
just
direction and just know that you are seeing. Because if you closed your eyes, you can't see anything, right? And when you open, you can see. So it doesn't matter what you see. It's just that
seeing
you
nature,
can see.
Seeing is happening. Seeing nature, not what seeing things. See, close the eye, cannot see. Open the eye, see. It see is object. Size is object.
Sight.
This is experience, though. Kena atur.
Just keep trying and you will understand.
Looking jalo, looking le lolo ya, looking bu pian tiu ya, ting ka bu hai. Looking bu lo le.
But you can also do looking, like actually look at something in the hall, like maybe the person in front of you, the back, look at it, or look at the Buddha statue in the hall, look at it and know that you are looking, you are focusing on something.
Aku lo cik, aku lo cik, yeah.
Can you try it now? For example, look at this cup.
First.
You know that you're looking?
You know what? Looking bu pian tiu.
You just know. You're just acknowledging that you are
looking. Yeah.
Can you do that?
Yeah.
So that's all we can do with the mind. We can recognize it, but that's all. And we just have to do that again and again and again. When you keep doing it for a long time, when you start to see, oh, the mind is doing this, now the mind has moved here, now the mind wants to go. You just start to recognize the way the mind
looking
does things.
Listening, pay attention, function, to do it. The kava wiko.
When we look, we pay attention to what we see, right? And then when we hear, when we listen, like you're listening to me, we are using our hearing sense and we're focusing on what we want to hear. So that's listening. And then when you pay attention, you're using your mind to know what you want to understand. It's paying attention.
The function is the same. See, look at it.
So the way the mind works is the same. It focuses on what it wants to know.
But the whole is
and that could be looking or listening or paying attention, whether we use our eyes or ears of the mind. When you eat and you taste something, you can actually focus on the taste and you really know what it tastes like. You can do that, you can pay attention to taste or smell. Right? If you smell a flower, sometimes you hold it and then you really smell it. You pay attention. But you want to know what the mind is doing, the way the mind is paying attention. That's what you want to know. So when we use our eyes, right? It doesn't matter whether you are aware of seeing or you're aware that you are looking. Just so long as you're aware of what it is that you are doing.
This
is a good practice to have right from the beginning. Because if you do it so often, then at home, because we see all the time, we look when we cook and do things, so we will be mindful all the time because it's
easy.
We really, at home, this eyesight, our sight, this faculty, we use it all the time.
Yeah,
If we become mindful of seeing and looking very, very often, then we'll find that every time we look, mindfulness comes in. Because it becomes habit. Habit to
daily life,
then it becomes very easy to be mindful at home because we are looking all the time. Something that is useful to become skillful at.
I've been thinking about negative emotions like anger or frustration or things like this, and before in my life it's like it's been difficult to experience anger or express it, and I've been practicing that and like trying to get
practicing expressing it.
Yeah, and feeling and like getting in touch with this kind of emotion that's been like difficult for me to like even recognize. And then when I'm practicing meditation here or in my life, I feel like when anger or similar kind of emotion comes, I try to like let it be and like just come and then be and then go, and usually emotions are like that.
But you do know them, you do acknowledge them and feel them.
Yeah,
when they come
it's
out.
Like
okay.
Object of my like
awareness
or whatever.
Yeah,
and then like these couple of days here, when it comes, I try to see how my mind reacts to the emotion, and. And like just like if it's if it's sort of like trying to say that you shouldn't be angry, or if it's saying that anger is good or whatever, I'm just trying to recognize what is the response to that emotion.
Okay.
And that feels like a good thing to work with that feeling, to have this kind of, because but I'm a little bit like confused about practicing this, because at home I think when I do like daily meditation, sometimes it leads to this state where I think my emotions get like more flat, and I'm like not so I don't have so much like range or scale in my emotion, and I get a little bit passive, and it's difficult to be like active in my life, and just like I do creative work, and I have to be like impulsive and reactive and do lots of stuff. So I have to use all my emotions as tools and as like response. So I'm just like a little bit between two things, if I should just like let it all out and let it be as much as it is, or if I should like and get rid of like those emotions and be more peaceful. And like sometimes being peaceful means like being dead or like like it's like you need to have both in a way, and they're both the same. But I'm a little bit like confused with this.
Okay, just a question: when you say your daily meditations, you're not just talking about sitting, are you? Or is it mostly sitting?
It's mostly sitting, like.
But it carries into your daily life.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes more, sometimes less, but.
Yeah. ตัวอีบ่ตัวตัวเด็กมาพอทุบตับกูกูเออตัวอกูดีดีโมชั่นนี่บายเนี่ยตัวเปลี่ยนบ่เนเนตัวอติมาปิบ่ติบ่อีนอติหลอมติอยู่ตะคาดิเลยกูอ่ะกูผิดท่าล่ะกูไม่ติอยู่บ่อกูเนเนติบ่ชูซ่าเลยอติมาปิบ่ชูซ่าเลยตะคาดิเลยเนเนหลอมโหเอ็กซ์เพรสโลบ่ชูซ่าเลยนะแต่เบิ่มอ่าดีเตียสะคั้นลายเนี่ยตัวผิดแต่สิทธิ์ติอยู่ตูติแล้วแหละสิทธิ์ก็ผิดแต่ ตัวตัวเพชรปีนเปี่ยวว่าเลยดีสกรรมอ่ะโอ้ดาสกรรมมาแล้วดีสกรรมจะตัวบาลงโคจุซาเลยสอไส้แท้มาบาริเปลี่ยวเนี่ยแหละดีอาผิดเนี่ยแหละไส้กับดีดีขันษาหมู่ปอมาตัวบาริตกเปลี่ยนเลยบ่ตัวผิดขึ้นล่ะไม่ผิดขึ้นล่ะไม่ผิดติ่งหมู่เปลี่ยวเนี่ยล่ะไส้กับบาริเปลี่ยวเนี่ยแหละบ่ดีผิดเนี่ยแหละอะเส้นปอมาตัวตัวจิบ่ตีบ่จุซาเลยแหละแต่ว่าตัวเนี่ยคอนฟิวส์เกิดเลยไอ้มาสอยเนี่ยตัวว่าอนุปัญญาเ
So he said that the purpose of meditation is neither to not have emotion nor to encourage emotion. It is to see what is naturally there, what emotion we have, and to just recognize it there. Nothing more. If you want to use the emotion that's present, you just follow like a shadow. You know this is how the emotion is being used and so on.
Right view is easier, right attitude.
The only thing you need to have is right attitude and right view.
The emotion is
right. Right? That you remember that this is emotion in play and you're not identifying with it. It's not you. That this is how emotions work. Let's see how they work. And you begin to understand how emotions work. And right view and the right attitude is not, if you have right view, you're less likely to have a wrong attitude because you don't identify. Once you identify that, then you can have attachment. You want to hold on to it, or rejection because you think it's not good enough or whatever. And he said, I said, you seem to have said that you feel very flat emotionally at home. And he says, there's no way that emotions won't come up ordinarily. He thinks you're focusing too much in your sitting, and that's why you feel so flat. Because if we watch too hard, it's like we are pushing out other experience, because we are forcefully taking a lot of space in the mind with the way we watch. And because of that, the other things are pushed aside like that, because too much pressure.
So
you see that what he's showing with his hands, he's saying that if you do the more forceful kind of meditation, he says it's a bit like samatha. He says it's like the awareness, and you know whatever you're aware of, it's like you're pressed onto it quite hard, and because of that, this cannot express itself because this is so strong. But he says in vipassana, it's not like that.
this is allowed to be natural. It does what it does. And this awareness, it does what it does. It's not pressing. It just does its awareness. And awareness is, doesn't have a strong pushing quality. Awareness is just not forgetting. It's just remembering to be present with what's happening now. So if you have this lightness, he says, then this will do what it does. And this just merely recognizes that this is doing what it's doing. And it just follows like a shadow, that's all.
And learning process follows.
And then this learning process can take place.
Energy, then energy can do it. But I am sorry, I am meaning to it. I don't continue the awareness, but I don't need to learn something. It's all jala, I don't need to do it. I don't need to do it. I don't need to do it.
Yeah, so that's why continuity of awareness is so important, because when you follow it like a shadow, you know, very continuously, he says that you begin to see, this becomes a habit, you know, just to be present with whatever you're doing without interfering in the process of what the mind is feeling and doing. He says then a whole set of new learning happens when there's momentum in being aware. Then you really understand the nature of vipassana.
How to put it? Meditation and bhava, bad emotion and good emotion. Emotions are what? Gone and say the motivation sheet. But gone and say the motivation sheet, the wrong emotion sheet, no? Blah blah blah, emotion sheet, and you're wrong. You're wrong, you're wrong, gone and emotion sheet. Lower emotion, you're wrong, ho. You bet you're wrong, don't tell that. But loving kindness is that lame. Good news is the Aji lame. The Nana is the Aji lame. The Moso de Alima, the bet Aji lame. Now, by the Anna Dom, the Anna Dom.
So, and he says, and when we talk about emotions, Seattle says there are positive emotions and there are negative emotions, right? And what happens when we are mindful and the lessons are learned, you know, the mind begins to learn more lessons, what happens is that the negative emotions, when the negative emotions become understood, they have less and less of opportunity to express themselves, because the mind no longer believes in them or their efficacy. You know, the mind begins to see the harmful effects or whatever. This is not something that we have to learn, it is something that will become learned. So when we haven't learned it, there's no need to think it shouldn't be there. Okay, if there's negative emotion, all we're doing is watching. Yeah, that's our immediate work, is only to watch and not to judge. Right? But he's just telling you ahead that eventually, when there's enough watching and enough learning, the negativity becomes less and the positive emotions become more. So they're like a zero-sum game, you know, they're like a balancing scale. When one is down, the other is up. When the other is up, the other one is down. So if you have less dosa, if you have less aversion, anger, irritation, frustration, you have more loving kindness. That's a natural equation. Like one side is less, the other side just increases, you know. And when you have and then we can use these positive emotions like compassion, the willingness to help, or mudita, joy in others' successes, and we can use these emotions to do what we need to do. And the last positive emotion doesn't feel like an emotion. It's equanimity. Doesn't feel like what we know as an emotion, a feeling, but it's a neutral feeling, right? It's equanimity, where we feel balanced. And that's a result of wisdom. It can feel bright and light to be equanimous when there's wisdom about it.
Yeah. Freedom sheet. I doubt emotion of machine.
In a state of equanimity, because the mind is no longer grasping or pushing, right? It's not liking or disliking. It sees things for what it is, and it is free. It's free. So there's a sense of freedom when there's true equanimity, when there's that wisdom.
Yeah, meditation is about good quality.
So with long meditation, with long-term meditation, so this is the, you know, the good qualities of the mind, you will notice them
increase. Outside the mirror, ไอ้เนี่ยไม่ผิดหรอกผิดปุ๊ดอ่ะผิดปุ๊ดอ่ะผิดปุ๊ดอ่ะอ่ะเส้นน่ะเนี่ยงอเนี่ยตัวเนี่ยไม่ผิดหรอกกูอ่ะไม่ผิดหรอกตัวงอนี่โมหะเนี่ยผิดอ่ะจ้องมาอัธรตัวอ่ะผิดอ่ะอะยินรู้ว่าอะไรรู้ว่ากูยังอ่ะถั่วละงอน่ะผิดไปไอ้ห่าโหใส่กันน่ะเนี่ยใส่ดําเนี่ยแค่จะใส่กันงอว่ะงอถ้าไม่เสียแล้วเนี่ยแค่จะตัวเบลอผิดแล้วเจอเหรอไอ้กรณีโมหะไอ้มาตะบอกว่าไอ้ใส่กันชอบเลย
อาชีพอะไรอาชีพอ่ะโหเอ็งมาซะอัธรุบีมาอะไรหลอกกันแล้วโหดๆติมาอัธรุนี่ผิดล่ะโหๆเจ้ามาบ่เจ้ามาบ่แล้วไม่ดีหาโหเอ็งซันนี่ซันนี่ตัวตัวแล้วเดี๋ยวเอ็งมาดอกช่ออัธรุบีมาไอ้มันตันเนี่ยซอซอไปไอ้มันตันเนี่ยซอซอไปซอซอไปไอ้มันตันเนี่ยบ่อ่ามันตันเนี่ยไอ้อัตตะ
30
So he says, when we practice at home, he says we try to, often we try to know one thing, one object. And he says we can become too focused on the object. And he's done that before too, because he's quite an intense person, whatever he does. And he says he noticed it the first time. He would go every Sunday and sit for a group sitting, you know, in one place. And he noticed one day how when he came out of the group sittings, his mind would be a bit like a zombie. He'd kind of be like stoned. And then when he finally noticed it one day, he realized this is not a good quality mind because there's no lightness, there's no wisdom in it. It's actually delusion because the mind is kind of like, it can't think. It's just like stoning in its stillness, you know? So then he realized that was too much forcing to be aware. So if you can notice how much energy you use to be aware, how much you're pushing into the object that you know,
relax.
Notice it
and relax.
Yeah? Yeah, and if you notice it's too much, you have to experiment with trying to step away from it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Feel like that? Yeah,
I understand. Thank you.
Is that okay?
Right.
Yeah.
I think they do change.
I find it hard to create continuity in our practice. And in my previous meditation, I've been used to focusing on my breath only. But I find it hard this time because I feel like I keep on hopping from one object to another, from my breath to sensations in my body and to sounds around me.
But you are knowing everything.
Sorry?
You are knowing.
Yeah, exactly.
So why do you say this? To continue?
To what extent am I... Because then I feel like my practice is becoming a bit fragmented when I keep on hopping from one thing to another. And then I don't have proper focus on one thing. And
He said, your awareness is continuous from what you say. Just your objects are not continuous. So you just have the wrong attitude about what should be continuous.
But then I also realized that I can stay in that mode for 5 minutes, for instance. But then it's so easy for my mind to start thinking about, you know, start making stories. Because there is no one focus.
Right. Seattle says that is the precise point. We want to see the mind. That's why we practice like this. We don't want to just want stay on one object and not know what the mind is doing. Yeah, so now you're going to practice how to know the mind is thinking but not get lost in thinking. Before, you know, when we do a practice like focusing on one object, it gives us the satisfaction of thinking that we are continuously aware of one object, but we're really not aware of everything else that's going on in the mind. And thinking is one of them. Thinking happens all the time. But because we want to ignore everything else and we want this false feeling that we are aware of you know, it's okay, we want this feeling that we are aware of one object continuously, then we willingly give up the ability to know everything that's happening in our mind and body.
I'm the coolest here. คนละคนลงนี่จะอานาปานะไปลงอยู่แล้วช็อตอ้าวมันใส่กันถ้าไม่ติดแม้รู้ไม่ซึ้งซาไปเนี่ยดาวฉีดไถ่ท้าอยู่แล้วตะดิชื่อออกมาหนิมั้ยไอ้รู้สวยตัวถ้าไม่ติดจะช้าเลยตัวดีละนะครับตัวกูแก่ติดละดาวมั้ยจันทร์น่ะนี่ตั้วละ
Another thing you can do because you have done one object before like anapana he says you can watch the breath okay and then you're going to watch to see how close you are to the breathOkay, and if you're very close to it, you're going to move away from it. Move away from it until you feel like you know the breath, but you also know other things. Okay, and you also know the mind.
Same time, but simultaneously, anapana le tiri, tuira le tiri, cha la le tiri.
Then you will feel a bit more grounded because you are with your familiar object, and you always have it in view. But you know now that things are happening in the mind, and you're not lost in them.And you also know that there are other things happening in the other senses. Okay?
Yeah, 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 yeah. Same time, but I don't need to yeah, 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 yeah.
So when you when the mind is knowing different objects in a clear and lucid way, it doesn't feel hurried or anything. Yeah, in a clear and lucid way.
Same time.
That you know the breath, you know there's maybe hearing, you can feel the atmosphere, you know there's thinking.You know, whatever faint thoughts that come into our minds, and you can know them and be with them in a steady way, he says that's a good awareness. You know, it means awareness.
Awareness is low, 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 sharp, sharp.
Awareness is working. He likes to use the word sharp. I never like that word because it doesn't make sense, but it's a good word in Burmese. Yeah.
Tech, I call it. But I don't like it.
Tech. That's my English, my eye, I think in Malawi.Yes. In my mind, I tell that who sharp the way to a suicide at the boy here. Much I. Yes.
With regard to the energetic effort, I find sometimes very hard to find the balance between ambition and happiness and peace.Let's say you have the right
energetic what?
I think
no, the cha has it on energetic what?
This is the energetic effort.
Okay,
yeah.
yes. Okay.
So how to avoid that bad spin of stress and kind of too caught? Being too caught with the effort.
Being too what?
Too caught, like too taken by the effort.
Oh, too caught by the effort. And are you talking about meditation or world? Like you seem to have gravitated to life, yeah. Okay. Big question. So, atomu jang, they pure amu pen, atomu ye, di, atemu bo, atemu re,ဘဝမှာကြတော့ဘလို့လို့ရွေးမလဲလက်ကို ambitious ဖြစ်တယ်ဆိုတာဟိုကြီးကြီးမားမားမျှော်လင့်ပြီးတော့ကြိုးစားပြီးတော့ရအ
ောင် motivation ညာလို့ကုသိုလ်စိတ်ဆိုရတယ်ပြဿနာမရှိဘူးအခုလိုစိတ်ဆိုမရဘူးဟုတ်တယ်အဲ့တော့ကိုတိရမှာ motivation ကပါတယ်ဟုတ်တယ် effort တော့ပါ
तू ရွေးရမှာဟိုဒီဟာနဲ့ဟိုဥပမာစိတ်ချမ်းသာဖို့ပေါ့နဲ့ဒီဟိုကြိုးစားပြီးတော့ဘဝဟာရီ
ကြားလေကျူးစားလေစိတ်ချမ်းသာလေမကျူးပါဘူး
နော်နောက်ခုစလုံးကိုကဘဲဟာကိုညံပါလဲညံမပါဘူးလဲ
ညံကရိုးပါညံကရိုးပါအ
ဲ့ဒါကိုအခုရှိကိုတ
တိယကိုကမလုပ်ရဘူးညံညံလုပ်ရမှာ
right
ညံဖြစ်အောင်ပဲအဆုတ်လိုက်ညံကသူ့လို့သူလုပ်လိုက်သူဘာရွေးမလဲဆိုတော့သူကရွေးတယ်စီအဲ့တော့ကိုကဝုန်းဝင်ရှုပ်နေ
The work of choosing what is ideal for us is the work of wisdom
not you
he said And the way to bring up wisdom is to be aware for a long time, continuously. So, that's your
motivation. Na kushi ni, kuna loba dona mawale tuwa lo tuwa tuwa le pichena.
He says because, you know, the motivations behind every effort can be many. So you can the effort to do anything, whether it's to be happy or ambitious, the motivation could be greed or aversion or delusion, or it could be wisdom. Right? So we have to watch and see what the motivating stuff is. Mm-hmm. And then if we keep watching, hopefully the mind will learn enough to be able to choose what is wise. All of us have 100% potential to be 100% wise. That's our potential. It's our birthright. But our responsibility or our task in practicing meditation is to try and grow this potential, to let this potential actually manifest, right? In our lives, what naturally is showing off its potential is greed, aversion, and delusion. And they are very practiced. So we are trying deliberately now to allow wisdom to have its day.
Can I elaborate a bit?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you have a good motivation and it's driven by wisdom. You want to build a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your ambitious goal, and you want it to be the best hospital in the world.
Okay.
But then you are, the stress wears you out, wears you down, and you are...
So it's in the day-to-day that you want to see whether wisdom is always present. Because
mm-hmm.
it could be in the day-to-day.
Mm.
The greed, aversion, and delusion is trying to operate on your good goal. You know, so up your etuma, panna in kamang tu si de motivation kamang low na ina ale si de di nyan le si de tu upo ma tu seyon tu kusap chen de kamang tu seyon kesen chen de. Dame tu a ni ze ma tu a stress de ya. Ame a dubio ko ai chi ma nyan ya low ni la.
Ni ze ma low low go.
So he says you've got a, you have the wisdom to understand how to reach a big goal, but in the day-to-day execution, that wisdom is not being used. So that's why he says we have to meditate every day, all the time, not just every day, but all the time, because it has to guide our every choice so that we are not
stressed. Mental action is serious. Mental action will go a mere thing.
Seattle says every our, you know, we have three actions: mental action, verbal action, speech, and bodily action, right? And everything starts from the mental action. If we notice our mental action all the time, Seattle says, then we have the choice to and the space to see which mental action is wise or not wise, suitable, not suitable, and so on. And then we, if we watch it enough, we know which mental action to take. And this will guide our verbal action. We make less mistakes, hopefully. And then subsequently our bodily actions. And if it's always guided by watching the mental action, knowing it, he says, then we will feel much more
comfortable.
Yeah, thank you a lot.
Fresh piece is a kid in that.
He says, if we become skillful at recognizing which mental actions are going to result in stress, then we start to learn to not allow them. You know, some of them you have to just say, no, I won't do this kind of thinking. Some of them you realize it's not necessary, you put it away. Some of them you don't allow them to express themselves. And then you relieve yourself of the stress of having the consequences of those unskillful mental actions
going to other actions.
And, you know, when we do this exercise of watching our mental actions, the result is that to watch that, you have to have mindfulness and steadiness of mind, which is sati and samadhi. And because you're watching, you know, wisdom will develop. So these qualities are also being grown all the time.
Right?
And because these qualities are positive qualities of mind, though they seem quite neutral in their energy, but they have a huge effect on the mind when they are always being used. They make the mind feel very confident, stable, strong, and clear. Mm. If you use it in life all the time. Yeah. So stress is always caused by the expression of all the defilements of the kilesas. When greed, aversion, and delusion constantly
anxiety,
express themselves, we start to feel anxiety, worry, depression, stress. We want something too much, we have a lot of frustration when it can't be met. All these things, they're just natural to their nature, to the nature of the unwholesome qualities of mind.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes. I felt very tired and sleepy since I arrived here. And my question is,
sleep.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, have a good nap.
What could be the cause and how should I relate to it in a good way?
Yeah. What could be the cause of bajang pyunna? Maybe you're just
tired. Maybe you're just tired. Maybe you're just tired. Maybe you're just tired. Maybe you're just tired. Maybe you're just tired. Maybe you're just tired. Maybe you're just tired. Maybe you're just tired. Maybe you're just tired. Maybe you're just tired. Maybe you're just tired. Maybe you're just tired. Maybe you're just tired. Maybe you're just tired.
You know, often when we are back home, we are using a lot of adrenaline. We are trying to keep up with our schedule, doing our work, and doing all that. And when we come to the center, we have nothing to chase, and then we can't use those energies. There's no more adrenaline. Yeah, and there's no schedule. Then the mind just falls off, and it feels the tiredness is allowed to come in. And then, we're not using those energies anymore, so we just feel the mind kind of goes soft. So then because, it doesn't have the powers of greed, aversion, delusion, which we use at home, it says we don't have that, then we can't watch anything strongly using that, And then because then we can't see anything clearly, we find everything becomes dull and boring and we sleep. So we carry a lot of tiredness in from our life that we are not recognizing, but here we are relaxing, and then the body finally, the mind finally recognizes how tired the body is.
Yeah.
And the mind.
Can we say that tiredness is the same as tension in terms of tension mentally and physically? No.
Pimana na tension na tula rabu tuba.
Pimana is tula putai. Pimana is tula arm na siya. Arm. Kong energy na siya.
Yeah. Tiredness is when the body feels weak. And there's not some good energy. It could come with tension, but tension is something, tension makes you tight.
Yeah.
Tiredness makes you have no energy. It's a little different.
Mm.
Different qualities that could be there together. You can say there's, when you feel tired, it's like you have no strength.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what it feels like you have no energy. Yeah. That's what tiredness feels like. So, but the good news is that you don't need energy for meditation. You just need patience. So if you just repeatedly, just persist, aware. You could be aware of tiredness. You're just aware. Just very lightly. Just aware. And you just keep doing it consistently for 2 or 3 days. Yeah, he'd like to see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would be interested. Yeah, you might find the mind. Maybe find something interesting. To be wakeful. It just means that we know things clearly. When we are not wakeful, then we are not knowing things clearly. But don't try to know clearly, just know, that's all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have this, like, yesterday I had this song playing in my head, this really annoying song that I just heard once on the radio, and it was constantly playing. And today there's another song that I also heard just one time on the radio, but it's a really nice one. So I'm just wondering how to deal with this, because it's really challenging with both of these, because one I want to switch off and one I just want to keep listening.
This
is not a real sound. This is actually a subtle mental activity. Right, as a settlement, there's many levels of thinking in the mind. This is actually a subtle level. It can be quite, I mean, it's very much like our talking to ourselves when we're doing things. You know, when we want to make tea, we tell ourselves what we're going to do next and all that. All these are subtle mental activities. And so just recognizing the mental, that this is a mental activity. The mind is remembering a song and singing it. You don't have to sing along if you don't want to, but he says, particularly when you notice that the mind is liking or disliking it, that's your object. You know, we want to recognize what it feels like when you're feeling annoyed. What it feels like when not when you're liking it. We can't stop subtle mental activity. The very gross thoughts, you know, things that we think quite loudly, those kind of things usually we notice and they will fall away. But the subtle level stuff, they just keep going. They have their own momentum. They have to just run out by themselves. So your work is just to recognize it, acknowledge it, and then to recognize if there are any reactions to it. If there are reactions, to really be with the reactions. But the problem is if you have the wrong attitude towards it and you think it should not be, you want it to go away, or the question, how do I deal with this, already says that you want to do something to it. So remember, the attitude is you don't want to do anything to it, you need to recognize it and use it. Right? You're using it to understand the nature of the mind. This is the nature of the mind, this is how it works, how does it work? And you just watch it. This is an opportunity. There was another yogi says, who loved music, knew a lot of music. And then listened to a lot of music. So when that yogi was meditating, when the yogi had had some disturbing emotion, then he had a song that matched it. And if he had a good experience, then he had a song that matched it. So he had this playlist going on in his head. Yeah, sometimes songs that he'd forgotten from, you know, childhood would come up in meditation. It is really a subtle activity. Yeah, and to try to stop that, he said, will be very frustrating for you. Because you can't stop that level of activity in the mind has its own momentum. But that's when it becomes really clear how this mind doesn't really belong to us, right? You see the levels that do their own work. Because of causes and conditions, but clearly not under my inverted commas
control.
And we want to understand this mind, right? This mind, its nature, its processes, how it works. And that's why we're watching. So let it all happen, whatever it is. Yeah.
I think I have the same kind of subtle activity. I have noticed that whenever I'm aware of sounds or sensations in the body or thoughts. It's like my eyes need to follow where it goes. Like I feel something in my leg. Mm-hmm. My eyes need to watch. It's not really my eyes, it's a mental eye.
Yeah.
It needs to follow so that I can be aware of it. Mm-hmm. And it can result in tension,
strain, yes.
And headaches and that kind of stuff.
Because of trying to see too clearly, of trying too hard to see clearly. So you're using too much energy to try to see. So Seattle always says don't try to see clearly. You know, and then we don't need to use our eyes, it's just the mind. Just relax. There's a yogi who's meditating like that. So you ask him what he was doing. He's washing pain in his back.
But I'm saying,
And it's interesting phenomenon because it belies how much we use our eyes, you know, to focus on things in life. And so when we focus hard with our eyes closed, we use our eyes because that's what we're used to using in life. So that's why he was saying just now that looking and paying attention with our mind is the same activity. One, we're using the mind to focus. One, we're using the mind to focus through the eyes, right? But it just means for you that you're focusing too much and you need to stop focusing. But this is very good for everyone to know because we all start off not really knowing how to be just knowing. What is just enough to know? And we learn by trial and error, you know. First we do too much, then we have this tension. So we know if there's tension, we are focusing too much, we do less. We do too little, then we feel sleepy or dull. And then we have to increase energy again, so we learn. We learn from our own experience to find that right balance. And that's possible because we are, in a sense, being aware of our own meditation. We're watching how we are being aware. You know, whether we are focusing too much and when we try to use less energy. We're watching what we are doing and its effects. So we are learning through the mindfulness of our own practice. And Seattle says this is actually the most important lesson in meditation is the lesson of how to meditate. Not the lessons about, you know, the all those important things that we read about or something. Not high flown, insightful things, but the lesson on how to be meditating in a balanced way. Because once we learn that, how to meditate in a balanced way, all we need to do is continue doing it and it will show us all the rest of the way. Yes.
How to stop to giving grades for yourself?
Grades?
Grades, kind of.
Like
because
1, 2, 3, 4, 10.
Kind of, yeah. Because I have been practicing asana yoga, Ashtanga yoga for about 10 years, and it's also kind of being aware and being mindful, but we still quite often talk about if we had a good practice or bad practice, or and it's a little bit same in meditation that I have those, like, I'm still, even though I know that I just should be aware, and it's the thing is to repeat things and have a continuous practice, but I still have a tendency to give those grades for myself. Oh, this today the meditation was so difficult. And
was it difficult because the experience was bad, or difficult because you were not aware?
Maybe both. Sometimes because I was tired, or my mind was wandering, or so I keep touching myself.
Yeah, you have your balloon idea who are low. I'm like, sick of me, to yoga load, I send his shibi. And my left your no, Obama, Tama Pombolo, the time I hit that I know, but I'm a sick. I looked at it. The chino or dark county and Macau, county Macau, or Atomu Male, in Macau and Macau looked at it. You have your whole Macau Sura who. Pita, Macau, Yorala, the D machine of Macau, Yorala, so the Kali Kuzino, the Kali Pimana,
Rubber,
So he always says, right, let things happen as they do. So now the mind is judging, you're going to let it judge. But you want to acknowledge the mind is judging. You want to acknowledge the pain that you feel when there's judging. And you want to see it over and over again. When we see it many, many, many enough times, then the mind finally says something. You know, it might say, oh, this is enough. It really is not useful. Or sometimes it says, you know, something else like a...
Not necessary.
Or it finally realizes that awareness is there. Yeah. You know, you've been judging the wrong thing, or something will become realized.
Understand love is yet love is.
And when we understand, the you know, all this stops. And then when we don't understand again, it starts again. That's part of the
learning process.
That's part of the learning process. So don't try to stop the judging.
Yeah.
Just watch it so that you understand the judging.
Try to understand so that they hope. I think
so just keep watching and then we also don't know when it will be understood. Right? We can't try to understand either. We must be patient with the process.
Yeah, because it's also kind of part of the ambition somehow.
Ambition
somehow, like for example in yoga, you always still kind of
reaching
when you are doing asana.
Yeah,
kind of
this is not yoga, and there is nowhere to reach except the present moment, right?
Yeah.
The present moment is your destination.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's hard to be ambitious about the present moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yoga ma, kua amie ho, po po kao ang loko. Yeah. To be a pure ho, ato mu ma piso pa ba mi bolo. Eh, na na ambitious people can't be
bold. Eh, kong chin la mi do ye sab ya tan ha.
The moment we want things to be good. So he said this morning, right? Check your attitude. Is there something you're wanting? So then the moment you see that there is something you're wanting, that's what you watch. You keep acknowledging, my mind is wanting this, my mind is wanting this, because that's where you are. You know? Instead of doing I think this is a fantastic thing that he says. You know, meditation is never difficult because meditation is about knowing what's happening now. That's not difficult. What's happening now? Well, you know what's happening now. That's not difficult at all. Mm-hmm. He says what's difficult is to get what we want.
Mm-hmm. You cannot get what we want. That's the difference.
And then we say it's difficult. Yeah. We want it to be good.
Yeah.
And then everything is bad. But actually, we know what's happening now. So
if you bet on
yeah.
Learning process, right? Macau in there, Macau now teaching.
Yeah. So you know.
How Macau do you learn? Macau is drama.
In the process of meditation, for meditation, you want to know what's happening now. So if what's happening now is that you feel bad, you know you feel bad, that's great meditation.
It's really bad.
So Sarah says, like, what is bad? You know, because if you know it, for meditation, it's good.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Don't think about that. Practice about
that.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Vipassana, Vipassana is simple, pure, okay.
Yeah, in a way, Vipassana is difficult because it's so simple.
To be quite easy, right? But
yeah, we don't know how.
I mean, involved. Cuckoo will love you. Craving.
We don't know how not to be involved in what we're doing or have an investment in it. You know, we don't know how to just watch something and not interfere with it or judge it. Or, but we learn.
I was wondering about thoughts, and I'm interested in my thoughts, and I'm curious about my thoughts and my stories.
Yeah, right.
And when, like these couple of days here, I've been trying to do that. That when I realize I'm thinking about something or creating a story or whatever, that I realize that I'm doing that. Little bit like I realized I'm seeing right now, in the same sense.
Sorry, can you repeat that last bit?
When a thought arises or a story, I become aware that there is a thought and I'm thinking, and thinking is like object of my mind.
Feeling also.
Yeah.
Feeling.
And usually when I do this, I think the thought or the story sort of like disappears or it ends, and I'm back to the present moment, and that's okay. But I'm interested in, like, sometimes I feel like the thought, I can be aware of the thought, and the thought can continue, and then I can have the both, and I can examine the thought.
Yes.
But usually it just disappears.
Okay.
And I'm interested in, like, can I do both? Like,
yeah, you did, right?
So yeah, sometimes.
The present moment means it's not physical. You know the thought is also the present moment,
right?
Sarah
says yes, it's possible to know your thoughts as they are thinking. Some thoughts, when you look at them, because they're not important, they just stop. There are certain levels of thoughts, like he explained, some subtler levels where you can't stop thinking. The mind will keep thinking and you are aware of it and you remain aware. You don't get lost in it, and both happen at the same time. He gives this analogy of two trains going side by side. And this is a very important, because it's only in a space like that that you can not only know what the mind is thinking, you also can know how the mind is feeling about what it's thinking. And then you will learn the relationship between thinking and feeling.
Thinking and feeling, thinking and mind and body. Mm? Right. Now to tap your hands and drop the signal down. Define me, Pi.
Another thing that you will notice when you keep watching your thoughts and your feelings is that you will notice, you know, there are things that motivate our thoughts and feelings. Because a thought is like a train, it's a vehicle. It's a vehicle. And the thought carries our motivations, or it's run by our motivations, it's driven by our motivations. So maybe the motivation is wholesome, but the wholesome motivation is not the thought. The thought is a vehicle driven by the motivation. So maybe the motivation is the oil, and the vehicle is the train, and the train is showing you, you know, these emotions that are positive because there's a wholesome motivation to the thought. And the same with a negative emotion, right? So sometimes the emotion might be frustration, and then again, the thought is a frustrated thought, but the thought is not frustration. Frustration is motivating, is pushing the thought. So the thought says what the frustration feels. And then you come to feeling. Again, feeling is a vehicle for the positive or negative emotion, right? So you have a feeling and it might feel pleasant because there's a positive emotion, or it might feel unpleasant to you because it's negative. Or for some people, sometimes the negative emotion can feel pleasant because they think it's powerful or something like that. But to recognize what's behind the emotion, the feeling, which is separate from the feeling itself. You know, so there is the motivation, which is positive or negative, wholesome or unwholesome, and then there's the function of thought and feeling, which carries or expresses.
Thought is one function, feeling is one function. Different function, the mind is different function.
So there's motivation, and it leads to the thought, and then there's...
And the feeling, yeah.
And the feeling and the emotion is related to the motivation or the thought.
Yes. No, always related to the and they all relate to each other.
Yeah.
For example, dosa, right? Thinking is not dosa. Feeling is not dosa. Dosa is dosa. Mm-hmm. Anger is the old characteristic. It's an old function. Yeah. Anger is different. Feeling is different. Thinking is different. Different function.
Mm-hmm.
But we can only know the thinking and feeling. We don't know the characteristic of the anger. What is the nature of anger?
We don't know yet.
Yet.
Mm. But you will know.
So thinking also like this object, awareness also like this. Right? Mm. Thinking happened itself, awareness also happened itself. Like this. Sometimes another knowing. So many layers, the mind is very funny. It depends on how skilled you watch, you can know the mind. Mm. Interesting. Say something.
Okay.
How long you practice before?
Oh, this is my first time with this.
I never practiced before.
But more the other one, focusing on one object.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
That one, but not.
So now, the deep,
so you understand what he's talking about.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think. Okay, why do you?
When you sit, what do you notice?
I notice my hands or my body.
Sensation, you know?
Sensations.
Know the sensation,
yeah. Yeah. Voices and movements and thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Touching, temperature, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The mind, not sick, and detail about the scene, yes.
Yeah, so long as the mind is within ourselves.
The reader, do see at the Mawa, the Nina Nichana, but the view of being a twin, a pure letter will be a twin and twin. A good little thing. They only read it. They focus on them.
Sarah says our mental reader in life is always outwards, right? Mm. We see and hear, and then we're always thinking about what we're seeing and hearing on the outside. He says all we want to do in meditation is turn the radar inwards. We don't want to bring it like this. We just want to turn it like that.
This.
That's enough. Yeah.
I have had one.
He says now we're like on. Sometimes our radar is on and off. Sometimes it's like out in. You know, that's how we experience it.
Yeah. And I've had one. There's been different thoughts coming through all the time, but there's one storyline or process that has been that I noticed comes back a lot.
Yeah. And you just notice it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's something that's taking up the mind's attention.
Yes,
it is. Maybe bothering.
Yeah.
It's interesting. But the people are doing swaying and swaying, moaning and moaning, chit and moaning, swaying and swaying, dog up in the people are doing that.
Yeah, so you can see what the motivating energy behind it is. It could be greed wanting something, or frustration at not getting something, or it could be anxiety, you know, worrying about something.
Yeah.
So because this thought is a recurrent thought, you want to start noticing how it feels every time you have that thought.
Feeling of breath.
What does it feel while that thought is still there all the time?
And I just stay with it?
Stay with
yeah,
it.
Stay
yeah,
with the feeling.
As long as it is there, stay with it.
Story must, atuya must story see it. Feeling must story must you do, but we still look up.
Yeah, because when we look at our feelings, we are less likely to get lost in the story. When we just look at our thoughts, there is a danger of getting lost in the thought.
Yeah,
so it's helpful to always know the feeling so that we're not caught in the thought.
So if I have a thought process and then I focus on the feeling, then...
Because the feeling is related to the thought.
Yeah.
The thoughts will still go on,
yeah,
but you will be in touch with how it feels to have that thought.
Yeah.
Just in case we get lost in the thought, you know, so this is a good way to do learning as well as anchoring.
But I noticed that it goes away afterwards. I don't know. I don't like it, but then it comes back after a while.
Yeah.
But it goes away and then it comes back.
That's fine. Yeah. As you keep watching over and over, you start to see why and so on. And you know, every new occurrence is actually But it's always a new one.
Mm.
Okay.
I like to listen and I try to catch up as much as I can, but then I feel very tired at the moment. It's too much, and then I have to come back, and then it's okay. I think the challenge is perhaps too big to understand everything all the time.
To limit. You mean as in to be mindful all the time?
Yeah.
Understand more about people, but
well, the detail.
This is impossible beginning.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay to lose mindfulness.
Lose again. Come again. That's all. That are happy people.
It takes time for it to become a habit to be mindful, to gain that momentum. It's okay. But if we are interested and we keep trying every day, one day you will find it comes in more and more easily. Whatever you do, just if you can remember yourself. Whether you're going forward or backwards, turning around, moving your hands or feet or whatever, just
walking time, yogi jaw time.
Especially when you do. Do you have a yogi job? Are you doing some yogi job work? There's a work period. Do you do some work around here?
Yeah.
So that's a time that you easily forget yourself. So try to remember. So you can explore, you know, is my mind here with me? And then what is the mind know most easily now? You'd be surprised, it might not be a normal
thing.
What is the mind going to? You want to notice that. Maybe the mind is going to what you see, or maybe the mind is going to what you hear, or what you feel. Just check, what does the mind
do? What is that your mind?
So you can explore that way. If you just remind yourself that way, it's easier to be aware.
I'm curious about those moments when I'm doing meditation, formal meditation, everything kind of disappears, there's nothing, and there's usually some kind of bright light. Nothing but this, nothing, this kind of time collapse.
Oh.
Kind of stuff.
Time to what? Lean down people being Bama Matiro.
Kind of
So don't look at the bright light.
This is not nature, this is a reality mode.
It's not reality.
Do lila, lila mode. Do lila, yoga se.
Come back to your body and sensations. Yeah. If you have difficulty, open your eyes. Because closing your eyes can bring you into that easily, since it seems to be a habit.
Yeah. Okay. The concept is, I see it, actually, reflect it.
Yeah. You know, the things we see in our mind, they call it nimittas, like lightness or darkness, they're a reflection. They're a visual representation that the mind gives itself in order to express its state of mind. That's all. But it's a concept.
Oh, imagination of your Satema, Pong Poloya. Pong Yi Le Poloya, Kala Le Poloya, a wine lead on the Poloya Le Poloya. Image a new don't pillow yare, a talent yare, a nanny yare, sick a poor imagination, be present all the poor yare.
So, Sarah wants to talk about imagination. We need to understand the power of our imagination. When there is enough concentration, strong concentration, the mind is able to recreate its own physical senses. So, you can experience a physical sense that's not actually present. So in our mind's eye, you know, with our eyes closed, we are able to imagine that we see things. You know, you can see bright lights, you can see shapes. Some people imagine themselves to be in a like being in a dream, like being in a mountain or being attacked by a tiger and feel that it's very real, or be with angels and stuff like that.
Sometimes blood, sometimes bone.
But if we understand that this is how the mind works, then we will not be frightened by these, and we will not find them strange or wonderful. We just know that this is the active imagination of the mind. It's an ability of the mind. And we can also recreate, not just seeing, you know, you can imagine that you hear something. This we sometimes experience. You can even imagine that you taste or smell something. That's
body sensation or poloya.
And then we can imagine that we feel something. You know, yogis have experiences like they're growing bigger. That's actually they're visually representing a sensation that they feel, and then they think that they're bigger or smaller. And the fastest way to get rid of that is to open the eyes and they see that they're
better. Sometimes the yellow paint the kali good kind of pong drain, yeah, pong get bummy pit the
So the easiest way to figure out whether you're imagining something is to open the eyes, especially when you're imagining things about your own body. You know, some of them, we can get really freaked out by our own body. So open the eyes if you're having something like that.
What about those, I'm aware of the limits, it's a feminine concept. We are, what about those time lapses, kind of kind of chumps? There's nothing.
Yeah, so
the thing may water. May water, I
don't know. At that time, the mind is not working, it's resting. It's sort of gone to sleep or unconscious. Although you're sitting straight,
you're not
falling asleep, you know, but it's neither wakeful nor asleep, but it's delusion. It's
delusion.
It's in a state of delusion because of high concentration.
Yeah.
Kind of blanked up.
It's kind of gone.
Gone, yes.
Rest of it, damn it. And delusion state.
The mind gets rest in a way, but it's a state of delusion. It's doesn't help
the meditation.
Can't use that state usefully. I think we've all had that.
So
the blank experience, no need to worry about it. you know, if we open our eyes and all, we're not likely to go in. And, you know, the other stuff that we can see, like lights or also all the other images that yogis might have. The images we have depend on our personalities. So no need to be frightened by them or
by them.
This is very useful information for all yogis, because many yogis can have very good concentration and then they have images in their mind that feel very real, and then they can get either very scared or very attached to them. Yeah. So it's dangerous. So it's good to know the nature of the thinking mind and how it can manifest in so many different ways.
Okay. See you next time. Right? Yes. See you next time. Thank you.